to invite you today to turn with me in your Bibles. I do want to encourage you to bring a Bible or get a Bible. That's the most important book you'll ever own. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to start there, and we're going to begin a new series today. For the most part, the way God has directed me is to take usually about a month or 5 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, and teach on a particular subject. That's generally speaking, that's the way God leads me to minister. Every once in a blue moon, you know, or blood moon, I might do just a one-part or something like that. But if you've experienced that, you're a rare person. Amen. But for the most part, we do things in series, and we just build upon a foundation. We're going to call this series called Unshakable, and you'll know why I've called it that here in a minute, because God wants us to be unshakable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, and this is out of the NLT, the New Living Translation, which I really like, the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 26, it says that when God spoke from Mount Sinai, it's kind of funny because kids were writing. One time I saw this little caption. Kids were writing little stories in the Bible. You know, one little kid said Moses came down from Mount Sinai. Like how kids think. But when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. How many of you know when God speaks, it can shake the earth, man? Amen. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. And this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Now, notice the 28th verse. This is really interesting. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, by the way, that kingdom's already in us. He said, let us be thankful to please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. That's called the fear of the Lord, okay? Now, notice that we have already received this kingdom that is unshakable. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you received an unshakable kingdom. Matter of fact, people oftentimes, they think, well, the kingdom of God, is it out there somewhere, you know? And Jesus addressed that, in fact. You know, we're not going to turn to it because of time this morning. Jesus said, he said, when the kingdom of God comes, you're not going to have to look here or there. He says, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, the kingdom of heaven is different. But the kingdom of God, domain, kingdom, where the king, where his domain is on the inside of us. John the Baptist, you know, Jesus said he was making accolades to him one day, and he said, of all the prophets, from Genesis to right now to his coming, he said the greatest of all the prophets was John the Baptist. He was a prophet, wasn't he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he was the prophet that actually saw with his eyes the coming of Christ. Isaiah didn't see him in the flesh. Ezekiel didn't see him in the flesh. Jonah didn't see him in the flesh. But John the Baptist saw him in the flesh. He said, of all the prophets, John the Baptist is the greatest. But then he didn't stop there. He went on to say, howbeit, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, what's that? What's that mean? What's that talking about? Well, see, John the Baptist was still ministering under the old covenant. The New Testament did not begin until Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead. That's when the new covenant started, when Jesus was raised from the dead. So John the Baptist was still under the old covenant, all right? But you and I were under the new covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews 8:6 that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Now, there's this word that we're seeing here in these verses that about a shaking that's going to take place. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, the earth system is the most unstable, vulnerable. We have a failing political scene, an economic scene, health scene, in the world system, that is. I'm saying in the world system. And it's failing all around us, okay? You can see these things on the news. I mean, all you have to do is turn the news on the radio and you'll see that things are failing in our system. And so there's a lot of shaking that's going on. Now, the good news is that the wonderful news, actually, that we have to understand is this, is although there's a lot of shaking and things going on, while I'm saying that, go ahead over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Jesus never said, when he started talking about the signs of the times and what was going to happen and, you know, and all these different earthquakes and famines and so forth, he didn't say, go hide in fear, go hide in a cave somewhere, get dried food, amen, and see if you can just kind of make it. He never said that. He never said that. He said, when you see these things coming, he says, he didn't say look down. He says look up. He says your redemption draweth near. In other words, I'm coming back sooner than you know. Praise God. I want to say this. I've never said this before, but I believe that before the rapture of the church, heaven is actually moving closer to the earth. That's what's going on here. Heaven is coming closer to the earth. And the closer heaven gets to the earth, the magnetic pull that's on the believers is going to just suck us right out of this earth. That's what the rapture is. You know, you ever see one of these big, in science class, at least I remember in science class, when the teacher wasn't looking, we would do things with magnets and things in magnifying glasses. Man, you could fry some bugs with those things. Y'all remember doing that? You could set your house on fire, too, if you're not careful. That I remember there was this, like a 15, 20-pound magnet, this big old magnet, and there was iron ore particles on this table, you know. And the teacher was demonstrating this, and he would bring it over, and it was way above where the metal pieces were, the little fragments, you know. And those, he would bring it up above, about this far above it, and you would start seeing those little things dance. Those little metal things would start, the pieces of metal would just start dancing, and all of a sudden, if you get a little closer, they'd just go, whoosh, they'd get sucked right up to the magnet. And just in a second, all those thousands of pieces of metal were sticking on that magnet. And that's exactly what's going to take place when Jesus comes back, is there's going to be this irresistible pull that we're just going to go up. Not down, we're going to go up. Amen? I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but Jesus never said, when you see these things happening in the world today, he never said, be afraid, go hide somewhere, and be scared. He never said that. In Luke chapter 21, let's take a look at this, and then we're going to show, after I share the scripture, I want to show you a short little video clip this morning that I think is really eye-opening as far as the day that we're living in right now, the signs of the times that we are in right now. One of those signs is going to come to pass this Tuesday. This Tuesday, it's the 15th, and I'll show you why in a second here. But Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it says this, it says, and there shall, Jesus is talking about the end times. He said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. Everybody say in the moon.
Amen.
All right, that's what we're going to see that this morning here. And in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Notice the sea and the waves roaring. What is that? That's tsunamis. Okay. The sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26, and men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be, notice this, shaken. There's a whole lot of shaking going on here. And he says, then they shall see the Son of Man coming with a cloud with power and great glory. Glory to God. Amen. Now notice that these are some of the signs in the natural. The earth is, the Bible says that all creation groans and travails to see the manifestation of the sons of God, the glorification of the sons of God, you and I, for the new heavens and the new earth. And that's why this stuff is going on here. But there are some things that we need to be aware of. You know, we're not setting dates and things like this, but there are certain things that Jesus talked about, knowing the seasons, knowing the times. This is springtime. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. You can look out and see, well, by faith. Yeah. You see buds coming out. It's been a late spring, hasn't it? It's supposed to snow this week on Tuesday again. Isn't that wonderful? Not a whole lot. But there are things that we can look at to know that the time and the day and the hour, which, in fact, people in the world are picking up on this. And what I want to show you here in just a second here, you can cut the lights there, Brother Jim. And what I'm going to show you here is about a 7-minute news broadcast from one of the news stations, one of the major news, I think it's Fox News actually. They interviewed Brother John Hagee, pastor in San Antonio, Texas. And he just wrote a book called The Blood Moons, okay? And I want you to pay attention to this, and then we'll talk some more about this, some things that are happening. I thought you might enjoy that this morning, isn't it? And if you are able to get a copy of his book in any local bookstore called The Four Blood Moons, I encourage you to pick it up. It's only a few dollars, but it's a tremendous read and very, very eye-opening. What's just so amazing, the day that we're living in right now. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you don't have to be afraid of the end times.
Amen.
Do you know that? Praise God. You can communicate the end times in such a way that puts fear in people, you know. But let me just say this, that all your dreams will come to pass if Jesus comes back.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, I want to do this, I want to plan for this. That's all good. That's all so pale in comparison to the good things that God has prepared for us. It's almost laughable. Amen. Because what God has in store for you and for I is so much better than you even can think, dream, or imagine. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I thought it was good to read that, because Jesus talked about the signs and the moon turning to blood in Acts chapter 2 and so forth. And let's go over to Matthew this morning, the 7th chapter. Is it possible to live in this world system right now and not be shaken by the things that are going on? There's a lot of stuff that can create a shaking on the inside of us. And the culprit behind that is always fear. Okay? The culprit behind shaking is always fear. Has anybody here ever been so afraid before that you started trembling your body? Am I the only person? I'm talking about where your knees have fellowship with one another. Okay? That kind of a fear, you know what I'm saying? Do you know fear can actually kill a person? Do you know that? I'll give you a prime example of this. Years ago, there was a sorority in a particular college in America. Fraternity, I'm sorry. Whatever you call it. And as an initiation into that fraternity, they would do different things in different years, you know, for the freshmen coming in. And so they decided there was a set of railroad tracks right up behind this school. This college was actually out in the country, okay? And there were two sets of railroad tracks. One was being used, the other one wasn't. So they blindfolded this guy that was a freshman, took him up, came into his room in the middle of the night, took him out, blindfolded him, took him up, tied him to the tracks, all right? Except he didn't know. They tied him to the tracks next to the real track. Now, they tied him to the tracks that weren't being used. Well, he didn't know that. Well, about 4 o'clock in the morning, here comes a train through. All right, they were just going to keep him there for the night, you know. No big deal, so they thought. The train came through about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And they went up the next day to greet him, and they found him dead. Now, the train didn't kill him. The train didn't run over him, ran right next to him on the other tracks. You know what killed him? Fear. And Jesus talked about men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. Okay? Now, the good thing is you and I don't have to be looking at the things that are happening, because you and I have a covenant with God. So let's talk about the solution to this, because when things are coming down the pike and things happen in the job market and this happens and that happens, you know, and family issues and things like this, you know, the devil is always behind that. He's trying to shake you. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says that if your foundation's right, when the shaking takes place, you're going to be left standing. That's what Hebrews says. All right? Some of you here, you have weathered some storms. And I want to say this as a word of encouragement, because you have weathered some storm. You have stayed the course. You have hung on to your faith, even though at times you wanted to just give up. Okay? Now, I know of people that have given up because of pressure. I know people personally that have quit serving God. Some people that used to even come to this church even. Okay? Not just our church, but other churches. When the pressure was on and family problems and issues and financial problems, they gave up on God. They quit coming to church. They quit serving God. That's not the place to be. We want to stay steady. Amen? On course. But in Matthew chapter 7, we see something here in verse 24. I want you to follow this with me. In verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth..." And by the way, let me back up here a second here. Just reverse it here in a minute here. "That you've stayed the course. You've weathered the storm with some storms in your life. And you saw the faithfulness of God come through on your part. And at the time, you weren't sure how in the world this is going to turn out. I don't know how this is going to turn out, Lord. And you shed some tears over this thing. But God saw those tears, and He saw your heart, and He saw your faithfulness, and He brought you forth, didn't He? He helped you. But see, at the time, it's like tunnel vision. You just see what's in front of you. You know what I'm saying? And you can get swallowed up, but God's faithfulness saw you through. Hallelujah. Now, I said all of that to say this, that the same God that delivered you previously is going to deliver you presently from the things that are dogging you right now. Amen. Now, that's not Keith speaking right now. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I wasn't planning on saying that at all. But I know the Holy Ghost. And the same God that delivered you before out of that fiery furnace, so to speak, that you were involved with, you know, He is going to deliver you out of this fiery trial. You can bank on it. Why? Because the Lord just spoke to my heart.
Amen.
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 And I want to be a mouthpiece for God today to bring encouragement to you. Okay? So that you're not being pulled down. Praise God.
Amen.
Discouraged in your mind. I'll tell you that one of the enemy's number one tools that he uses is discouragement. Oh, the devil's a discourager. He'll try to talk you out of everything. He'll make you think you're the worst person on the earth. You know, that no one else has it what you have like you have it, you know. And let me tell you something. He's a liar.
Amen.
The devil's a liar.
Amen.
And his pants are on fire. They really are. Because he is going to burn in hell. I'm telling you what. The devil. And I have no compassion for him, no mercy for him, because he made a choice to do that, what he did. Okay? Let's talk about this for a minute here, because... when shaking tries to come to you or me, what do we do? Amen? When a medical situation comes to your attention, the doctors had found something that's they don't like, you know, of course you don't like it. What do you do in a situation like that? You know, when you get a bad financial situation facing you, you know, that can really drag you down. You have a bad relationship with somebody, you know, something going on in your marriage or your household or something that's always trying to pull you down. What do we do in situations like that? All right? You want to know? Matthew chapter 7 tells us, therefore, verse 24, therefore, Jesus said, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Now notice that. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. There's three words that I want you to underline in verse 25, if you're taking notes right here. It's the word rain, number two, floods, number three, winds. I'll say that again. Rain, floods, winds. These are all symbolic of trials and tests that Lucifer would bring your way. You know, God is never the one that's tempting you. Do you know that? The Bible says you cannot tempt man with evil because he has no evil in him. Devil, Satan, is called the tempter in the Gospel of Luke. He is the one that brings temptation, discouragement, and these kind of things. But notice here, you got rain, you got floods, you got winds in verse 25. And it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everybody say unshakable.
Unshakable.
Amen?
Amen.
Here comes this massive storm. You got rain, you got floods, you got winds. And it says it didn't just touch the house, it said it beat upon that house. Did you ever feel like you were just being beat, buffeted? You know, Satan just comes. He's a buffet. He's boom, boom. Oh, here comes another one, you know. And he likes to, I like to say this, the enemy likes to use the pileup effect. You know what I mean by that? That means he doesn't just come with one thing at once. He'll have four things going on at the same time. So you're like, ah. Amen. And it's just like, oh, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with that. All right. And that's what he likes to do. That's how he operates. All right. So you have these three things. You have rain, you have floods, and you have winds that are all symbolic of tests and trials that will come your way. But notice Jesus said, this man that heard, verse 24, look at it, says, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Okay? And so this storm is beating upon this person, you know, but here's a guy that not only hears the word of God, but he says, I'm going to put this into practice. Amen? The Bible says, be ye what? Doers of the word and not just hearers only. Yeah. You know, we can talk all we want about the word of God. Any of us can, you know. But to buckle down and say, you know what? I'm going to practice that. I'm going to do that in my life. Praise God. It's one thing to hear about love. It's another thing to walk in love. Amen? It's one thing to hear about tithing. It's another thing to do it. Amen? It's one thing to know about this, but another thing to do it, whatever the case may be. Now, I want you to see here in the rest of the verses here, verse 26, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is likened unto a foolish man. Say, that's not me. Says foolish man. I say, I ain't identifying with that one. So he says, it's likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The other guy built his house on a rock. This guy built his foundation on a sand. Now notice the same storm. It says, and notice the rain descended. That's the first thing. And then number two, the floods came. Number three, the winds blew. Seemed like we read that before, huh? And it says, and it beat. There it is again. It beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that Jesus had ended these sayings. The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So we can see in these verses right here, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. You got winds, you got rains, you got floods that are beating upon. Now, let's simplify this so we can understand this. You got two people. You got one storm. Two people, one storm. One is left standing. The other is devastated. Sounds like the big bad wolf. Right? What is the difference? Because it wasn't the storm that wiped this guy out. It was the foundation. Notice the same storm came to both individuals. The one was left standing. The other one was totally devastated. What is the difference? Okay? See, we're talking about not being shaken. And that house was shaken. I'm telling you, the winds and so forth. I remember back in, it was 1989, actually. Hurricane Hugo came through South Carolina. And we were at the ocean on vacation at that time. Lynn was, she was expected with Joshua. He was born in 1990. This is 1989. And we're down there, and all of a sudden, you know, thank God for the Weather Channel. You could see what's going on and what's coming and so forth. And here comes this massive hurricane, Hugo, coming, that was devastating. Remember that hurricane? Anybody remember that thing? And, we're on vacation. Well, our vacation is about to get cut short here, you know. And I mean to tell you, the whole atmosphere, I'd never been in an atmosphere like that. Now, we didn't stay there because we left, praise God. We were wise. We left. But I'm telling you, a lot of that system was already starting to move in, the clouds, the rotation. I never felt humidity like that. I'm telling you, it was just like the windows were just sweating everywhere. It was just ridiculously humid, okay? It made the Amazon look good. Seriously. And now, and that massive system, that storm, and you could just see it covered several states, you know? Man, we left and we went up. Well, let's go to Virginia Beach. So we went up to Virginia Beach. Man, that doggone storm hit South Carolina, and it followed us all the way up to Virginia Beach, man. We went over. We stayed at CBN with Pat Robertson up there, not with him, but we were on the property up there. That storm came through there. I'm telling you, it just went up the whole coast, you know. And I saw the newscast, and I'm telling you, they showed pictures of people that were stranded and deaths that took place, and trees, big massive oak trees that have been there for 200 years, just collapsed on houses. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. You know what I'm saying. But there are people that had built homes to withstand these kind of storms. Now, some of the homes that were built several years ago, you know, 50 to 150 years ago, some of these historic homes, some of them were totally destroyed, okay? But some of the homes that they had built, and I saw this on the news, that they were built in such a way to withstand hurricane force winds, all right? Just like in California, they build buildings now to withstand earthquakes. You know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of sway to those buildings, you know? And so the storm came in this gospel that we're reading right here in this particular scripture in Matthew. The same storm came, but the one was left standing and the other one was totally wiped out. Okay, so there was shaking, there was wind, there was storms that came against these individuals. Now, Jesus is not talking here about, he's using this as an illustration. He's not saying a literal storm came here, but he is describing to you and to I the different storms of life that come to us. I was thinking about the disciples one day, when they were on the boat, and a big old storm, Jesus was in the boat too. You can read about it in the Gospels. And a massive storm of hurricane proportions came up. Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. He's asleep on a pillow in the back of the boat. Now, the disciples weren't sleeping. They were in panic mode. They were freaking out. Anybody ever freak out before? On your kids, you know what I'm talking about? Well, they woke Jesus up. So he must have been in stage 3 sleep or something. You know, he went over and they woke him up. And here's what they said. Master. Now, they didn't say this calmly because they're about to go under. The boat is filling up with water. And Jesus is back there. He's just enjoying himself, you know. But the disciples, the 12 disciples, they're freaking out. And they wake up. They wake the master up. And they said, Master, don't you care that we're about to go under? We're about to perish. Now get this. Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And what happened? There was a great calm. Jesus spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. And there was a great calm. And that's when they said, surely this is the Son of God. You know, well, he was the Son of God before that happened too. Now, here's what's interesting about that situation. You can go many different directions with that, you know. But here's what I want to bring out is that when the storms of life come against us, the enemy will try to get us to question God's care for us. Are you with me? What was their response? Master, don't you care that we're about to die? Well, the answer to that is, of course he cares. But in the midst of that test, in the midst of that trial, your mind is being bombarded with thoughts. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me. If he did, then why is all this stuff going on? Well, what did Jesus do? He stood up and he said, peace, be still. Amen. He spoke to the wind and he spoke to the waves. And Jesus rebuked him. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I translate that like, you could have done this too. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Amen. And greater works than you do shall I go to my Father. Are you with me now? Praise God. Well, that sounds a little bit radical, Brother Keith. Well, the Bible's radical. Take it up with God. The Bible is radical about these things. Amen. You have more power and you're at your disposal than you even realize.
Glory to God.
You have more authority in your possession than you even know as a believer.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
But I can tell you countless people that have gotten mad at God, angry at God, have bitterness towards God. Okay? Because of tests and trials in their life, and they don't understand. They think, if God loves me, then why is He allowing all this stuff to happen to me? Are you with me? Now, here's the thing. God's not sending that. God didn't send that storm after all. You think God would send a storm if Jesus is in the boat?
No.
Now, the devil was trying to kill him.
Amen.
He was trying to make him sink, die, perish, drowned in the water, right? That's what he was. That's what the devil, he comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. Now, if Jesus was working in conjunction with His Father, which He was, do you see where we're going with this? If God was causing the storm, then Jesus would be working against His Father. Because He said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only speak what I hear the Father speak, you know. And when Jesus said, peace be still to this storm, it listened. You know, it's amazing. Jesus would speak to limbs and they would grow out. Jesus would speak to fig trees and they would die. Bless the Lord. So I guess they have ears, right?
Amen.
Storms can hear. Trees can hear. All right? Now I say, well, that's Jesus. Yeah, I know that's Jesus. But he's teaching us how to operate in this earth realm. Amen? Amen. Now, I know this goes over some people's heads. I don't believe anybody in here has gone over your head. But some people think, no, wait a second here. What about the sovereignty of God, Pastor Keith? Mm-hmm. Well, while we're on that subject, let's talk about that for a minute here. Because people, religious people, I remember I was listening one time, I wish I hadn't have, but I was listening to an interview on the radio one time. There was a guy that was, he was a music artist, Christian music artist that was being interviewed. Good guy, good musician and so forth, and you would know his name if I even said it, but I'm not going to do that. And the guy was interviewing him, was coming from this mindset of God's in control of everything. God's sovereign. And so he just jumped on that like a tick on a dog. I mean, he got on there. He says, I tell you, the way I deal with things in life, he goes, you know, God has everything under control. And whatever comes into my life, he goes, that's just part of God's plan for my life. If I get sick or if a disaster happens, that's all part of God's plan. Now listen, that is ridiculous. That is like, that is complete, total deception.
That's right.
If that were the case, why are we told to resist the devil in James chapter 4? It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, first of all, it says, submit to God, then resist the devil. He'll flee from you. All right? Well, if everything's God's plan, then when do you resist the devil?
That's right.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
See, that just shoots that doctrine out with holes in it. That's amen? Right. Because, listen, God doesn't have a plan in a car accident. God doesn't have a plan. God doesn't have to make you sick to get you in the hospital so that you can witness to the guy in the bed next to you. You can walk in there healthy and witness to them. It's a better witness. Now, don't get me wrong. God can even use you in any circumstance that you're in. Don't, you know what I'm saying? But see, God doesn't have to create something bad to bring something good out of it. Well, Brother Keith, doesn't the Bible say that God says, the Word says, all things work together for the good, that those that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose? Yes, it does say that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. However, if you read the previous verses before that,
Amen.
Paul is talking about believers that pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues. He said, those are the people, when you pray in the Spirit, then all things, because it says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities when we don't know how to pray with this natural English language. So what happens is we begin to pray in other tongues. We begin to pray in the Spirit. Supernatural prayer language. I'm telling you, it's available to every single believer. How many believers we got in here? I'm telling you, it belongs to you. And if you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you come up to one of us after the service today. And we'll pray with you. Amen. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. But I'm telling you, it is God's will that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this thing about the sovereignty of God, this was not God's plan that this storm came and the disciples were going to perish and so forth. That was the enemy bringing that thing. You see, here comes a storm. Shaking was going on in that boat. But what did Jesus do? He rose up. He knew who He was. Amen. And he's trying to teach us how to operate in this earth. Amen? I'm not going to go into great detail, but my roommate and I, when I was at Bible school, we actually had to speak to a tornado that was coming at us. I mean, coming right, beeline, right to us. It's probably like an F1 or an F2 tornado. So I don't care what kind of tornado it is. If it's a tornado, it's a tornado. If it's an F5, it pulls cement up and roots and everything else, you know. People can still die in an F1, you know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, thank God for the Scripture. Thank God for the Word of God. And that thing came at us, and I was on the second floor of our apartment. And the only thing, and fear was hitting us big time. I mean, fear was, you know, thoughts are hitting you. And I saw, you know, the only time I ever saw a tornado was on The Wizard of Oz. You know, the bicycle and the little dog. That freaked me out when I was a little kid. I don't know about you, but and that was like a horror flick to me when I was a kid. See, we're going back in the 60s, okay? But I saw if this big black funnel came down and pulled up the roof. What's the word I'm looking for? The shingles from a roof. There we go. Got it. And it pulled, as it touched down, it would pull dirt up. That's where the black comes from, the circular motion, okay, the funnel. All right? When it's just up in the air, it's just pretty much white. But when it touches ground, it sucks up dirt, and that's how you can see it more. Well, this thing was coming at us like a train. It sounded like a freight train. Well, my roommate, now, we just started speaking the word to that thing, quoting the Scripture to it. And, you know, that thing came so close to us. It was right across our parking lot where I was at Burning Tree Apartments in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Yep, next to Woodland Hills Mall. This is in 1982, in the spring of 1982. Sound like Brother Hagin. Yeah. In the south bedroom. 401. You know, that thing came across the street, you know, and I saw that big funnel came across the street. And these were several, this was one apartment complex, but they're different buildings, the same under the same ownership, you know. And that thing came over in the right across from our parking lot there. And hit the corner side of the complex where we were, sucked out the window in the apartment, just pulled it right out, you know, knocked over a tree, and I mean it was probably 50 or 60 yards from where we were. Man, our flesh was trembling. We hit the ground. We just started speaking the word. I remember the one thing I said was, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name." Amen. And I'm telling you, the devil was giving me flashes of, you know, Bible school students dying in tornado, never made it through his first year of Bible school. I'm telling you, these thoughts were going through my mind, you know, real fearful thoughts. But, you know, we watched that thing just went, we spoke the word within just in a few seconds, that thing just went, right back up into the sky. And from where it went, I don't know. But, you know, in the springtime in the South, it's common for those kind of things to happen. But the devil was trying to do something to hurt us or kill us. Amen. Okay? But when you speak the word of God, and I thank God that I came out of a Bible school that was teaching us who you are in Christ, the authority that you have, the power that you have, and you don't have to tolerate that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Praise.
Okay?
Thank you.
Amen? It's okay to have a storm cellar and those kind of things. But listen, you got to know sometimes you're out and about and doing things and something comes up like that. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know your power and you have authority over that stuff. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that thing just went, we saw it just went straight up in the air and just went from, I don't know where it went from there, back to hell where it came from. So, everybody say this, there's a whole lot of shaking, going on. But I don't have to be shaken. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Praise you,
Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Same storm came to these guys. One stood, one failed. I'm telling you, folks, all you have to do is use the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. right.
See, we're not talking like a little rabbit's foot, you know what I mean? Like a, let's just see if this works now. You know, we're talking about, the Bible says, the name of Jesus. It's like throwing the whole Bible in the face of the devil. Because Jesus is the Word. He's the entirety of the Word. And when you say, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, if you have faith in that name, that's what happened when that guy was healed. Remember that? It says, in him, through faith in that name, this man is made whole. It was crippled in Acts chapter 3 and 4. It's not like, let's see if this works. No, we, with the name of Jesus that you have and I have, Jesus said, I've given you that name, so use that name. He said, don't go to the, Jesus wasn't saying, go to the psychologist, try to figure this whole thing out. I'm not knocking psychologists or psychiatrists. I'm not knocking that at all, okay? But so many times we turn to natural things instead of looking to God, the God that made your body, okay? When I got that news about my physical body and my brain, things were going on there, I went to the God that made my brain, okay? And before I was even a person in this earth, before I was just in the womb of my mom, God had a plan for me. And that plan is bigger than anything the devil could try to throw your way. Are you with me now? And no devil's going to take me out. I have a course to run. I have a job to do. And I plan and I intend on fulfilling that destination. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And when the Lord led Lynn and I to go down to Brother Copeland, to Branson, back in February, to have Brother Copeland lay hands on us, lay hands on me. And that was our, we drew the line in the sand. We just drew the line in the sand and said, this is it. Yeah. Jesus said, believers would have hands laid upon them and they shall be healed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that. First of all, because I didn't arrange it. I didn't call down and say, can Kenneth Copeland please lay hands on us? You know. You know who arranged that? Brother Len Mink. Uh-huh. Amen? Because I had it in my heart for them to agree with us in prayer. He goes, well, I'll tell you what, let's bring you down to Branson. You know, this is the end of February, first part of March. And he says, I'll talk to Brother Copeland. He calls me back. He says, he agreed to do it. Let's do it. I said, well, praise God. That sounds like a plan to me, you know. But I'm telling you, I said all that to say this, that everybody needs someone that they can hook in with and pray when you're going through the test and the trial of life. In our case, we hooked in with Len and Kathy, you know, which led to something else, you know what I mean? But that's why the body is here. Listen to me really careful. Sometimes people, Christians, go through things needlessly and they suffer silently when they could have someone else in the body that really, really cares for them, that will stand with them and pray. Amen? See, we're not a body that looks down on people, looks down our noses at people because you're going through something. Listen, we all face stuff once in a while. We're not here to bring criticism or judgment. No, we're here to believe and support and band together. You don't have to suffer silently. God doesn't want you just being an island off there by yourself and say, well, I'll just fake this out. It's okay. I mean, if you need, always use your faith. But let me tell you something. You can come in agreement with someone in this church. The thing I like so much about this church, because I like to brag on this church, because I love this church. Because the church is made up of people. It's not pews or chairs or walls. It's people. We make up the church. Amen? And when you suffer, we suffer. When you get blessed, we get blessed. Why? Because we're one body. We're one body. And at that time that I was going through that test and that trial where the devil was trying to snuff my life out, literally trying to take me out in midstream, well, guess what? There's some believers there that stood with us, that hooked in with us, and now we're on the victory side.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks be to Him. Thanks be to Him. We're on the victory side.
Amen.
Oh, but I'm telling you what, I had so many thoughts. Can I just be honest with you about this? I had so many thoughts of self-pity when I was going through that. I don't know if you've ever been through that before, but dear God, The devil just tries to bring self-pity and like no one cares for you and why are you going through this? And, you know, and these are all thoughts, of course. You know? Because when the pressure is on and, you know, and I couldn't even drive my car right straight down the road. I had to get Josh to drive for me or something like that, you know. And that pressure was coming, okay, with that bleeding that was in my brain at that time. You know what I'm saying? That pressure that was there, not only spiritually but naturally as well, okay? Thank God for men and women of faith that we can stand with. If I would have just said, you know what, I'm going to take a break from the church for about 5 months. I'm just going to go out here and not do anything about this. You know, I'd be in a worse position.
Amen.
One of the hardest things for me to do, and I'm glad that I did it, was to get up and preach the next week after that happened.
Amen.
Okay? Everything looked hazy. I was missing the pulpit. Tried to grab it and I missed it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, we're going to press through this thing.
Amen.
We're going to press through this thing, you know? Because I know whom I believe, and I'm fully persuaded of Him. Amen. Amen. And I just want to encourage you that this morning, because no matter what you're going through in this life, okay, especially if it's been a long trial that's been lasting, you know, a few months, sometimes even a year or two, you know, I'm telling you, you hook in with someone that you know cares for you. God will show you. God will show you. And that's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. Amen. I know in our own house, I never, ever hesitate, and both Lynn and I, and our kids as well, we do not hesitate to come to each other for prayer if we need something. We pray all the time for each other and for situations. I mean, even seemingly small things, we pray for things all the time. And it's so nice to have that partnership, okay? Now, you say, well, brother, I'm not married. I don't have that. Well, listen, God will provide someone else. God will provide a person, someone in the body that cares for you, you can pray with and stand with. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I didn't even plan on saying all that today, but that's just the way it's coming out. Praise
Amen.
God.
Praise
what time is it here? Boy, we're almost out of time here. Praise God. I think we have time for one more scripture and we'll close here. Go over to Psalms 112 and we'll close here today. I couldn't help but think about when he talked about the rain and the storm and the sands and the seas and the waves roaring and the wind blowing, all that kind of stuff. I couldn't help but think about Noah.
Hallelujah.
Not the movie that just came out. But the real Noah, the Bible Noah. What did God tell? He instructed him to build an ark. Well, there's never been a boat up to this point. And it took him a long time. How many years? 100 years. Dear, what a building project. Dear God. Think about his patience. And think about the ridicule, because it never rained up to that point. What's a boat? You're building this big object that's like the size of a football, length of a football field. Amen. But he was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. He stood up in the face of ridicule and accusation. And God says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And what did he do? He gave him a plan. Build an ark so that when the storm comes, you'll be lifted above it.
Hallelujah.
Listen, that's exactly what's going to happen when Jesus comes back during the rapture of the church. When all wrath comes on this earth and judgment comes on this earth, we will be lifted above it.
Hallelujah.
That ark is a type of the rapture. And Noah and his family of eight were spared, and they were lifted up above what killed everybody else. What I'm saying to you is this. You can build yourself an ark. Remember when Kathy Mink was here last time? She had a sermon, build yourself an ark. I love that. Hallelujah. Build yourself an ark. How do you build yourself an ark of safety? By hearing and doing what the Word of God has to say. Praise God. We believe, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, we believe, therefore we speak. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. That's part of doing the Word, is speaking the Word. That's probably the most predominant way that you can do the Word of God, is by speaking the Word of God. Because you speak what you believe. We believe, therefore we speak. Now, why do people speak fear and unbelief? Because they believe that in their heart. You can turn it around. You can change it, the course of your direction, by saying, I choose to speak what God's Word says about me.
Amen.
By Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
Amen.
End of conversation.
Amen.
Amen. You lay hands on that billfold and said, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. That wallet, that checkbook, I say you are blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, your mind's going to give you tricks with that. It's going to mess with you. Okay? You're going to say, what are you doing? You just say, shut up, devil.
Amen.
Something's working here.
Amen.
Something is working here. I'm telling you. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, let's close here. Psalm 112. It says in verse 1, it says this, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be what? Blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Note he didn't say poverty and shame. Say, he's talking about me. Now, some of your minds, you're like, wait a minute. He's writing to the Jews here, right? No. He's talking to, blessed is a man or a woman that fears the Lord. In other words, you respect the Lord. How many respect the Lord? I mean, there's nobody in this place here that doesn't respect the Lord, or you wouldn't even be here today.
That's right.
Give yourself some credit.
Amen.
You dragged yourself out of old big bed this morning, and you could have stayed in bed. What did you do? You came out here because you love God.
Amen.
You love God. Praise God for that.
God.
And he says, this person, verse 2, says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there rises light and darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion. This is talking about you. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Verse 6, surely, now here's the meat of this. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Now check out verse 7. It says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. We would say bad news.
Hallelujah.
Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the key right here, and we'll pick this up next time here, is verse 7. We're not afraid of bad news.
Amen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Say, I'm not afraid.
Of bad news.
Okay? Now, bad news comes to all of us sometimes, doesn't it? It could come in the form of a phone call, a letter, someone talking to you. Bad news comes. And that's when you say, I refuse to be afraid.
Amen.
I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be afraid. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Well, they're having fun over there, aren't they? But notice that if your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, you're not going to be afraid when bad news comes. Amen?